Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Nathan Kress on Stardish Radio.
Hey, this is Nicholas Rodriguez. You're listening to Stardish Radio. Enjoy, you guys. Have fun.
If you are what you say you are, a superstar, then have no fear, the camera's here, and the microphones, and they wanna know, oh, 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 yeah.
Hey, this is Scott Clifton, and you're listening to Stardish Radio.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another edition of Stardish Radio. Today is March 29th, 2010. I'm your host, Joanne. The number here is 347-945-5423. Guests in the chat room, please take a minute to go ahead and register for Blog Talk Radio so you can participate in the chat with everyone else. I wanted to say and put back out there that Stardish Radio is celebrating its second anniversary on April 1st with the incredible, legendary David Canary. So please make sure you tune in for that. It's at a special time, 8 p.m. Eastern time. He will be taking calls. We're going to try and go over a lot of stuff and just have a good time with it. He's never done a podcast before, so let's all show some support. I want to say hi to everybody in the chat room. Guests, go register. If you're on the phone and not in the chat room, big mistake. I'm only taking callers that are from the chat room that can show me their area codes. So take a minute, go register. Shout out your area code into the chat room, and then you shall get picked up. March 31st, Steven Martinez from The Vampire Diaries is going to be with me. He's formerly from General Hospital as well. He played Nicholas Cassadine for a hot minute on that show. So if you are a fan of his, please make sure you come by and check him out. It'll definitely be a good time for all. I'm just going to see who I have here on the line. Area code 425. Who am I speaking with?
I'm Missy Daytime After Dark.
Okay. What is your name?
My name's Carly.
Okay. Hold on, Carly. All right. Very good. We have Carly on line two. Oh, love the name. Area code 626. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hello. My name's Heather. I'm calling from New York.
Okay, Heather. Hang on, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Very good. Glad to see the switchboard is lighting up. This is a last-minute show scheduled, as well as Tony on Guiding Light. That's right. Neville is in the chat room. Hey, Neville. Thank you. Tony Santos on Guiding Light. Stephen Martinez played. Just a bit of trivia. The woman that I had on before this show, Joan Benedict Steiger, she played Edith Chaplin on General Hospital. I think it was back in 1990. For a few years, she was on there. So check that out. And she was also married to Jeremy Slate, who played Chuck on One Life to Live. So that was just an interesting bit of trivia, other than, of course, being married to the legendary Rod Steiger, Academy Award winner. So just a little bit of trivia on my last guest. So take a minute, and when we're done here, make sure you download or listen to it. You know, she's got some cute little stories. It's always fun to listen to some of our elder actors talk about their experiences in show business. And they've worked with the best of the best, and it's just nice to appreciate them, you know, for, if it wasn't for them, you know, they paved the way for what we're watching now. So definitely take a few minutes and show some appreciation to our senior actors out there. Okay, waiting for Mr. Anderson. Yes, Bradford Anderson to call in. He should be on the line any minute now. It was a treat getting a call from him today to want to come on. For those of you who don't know the history of Stardish Radio, I'll just give you a quick tutorial. Bradford was my first guest on Star Dish Radio 2 years ago, and we're trying to make it a running tradition to have him come back each year for each anniversary. So April 1st got snatched up by David Canary, which I can't complain. So Bradford's coming on today, and he's been a real busy guy getting ready for a wedding, doing his thing. So can't be mad at him for being busy, that's for damn sure. I got a lot of guests in the chat room. I'd love to see you guys go register so you can participate. I want to say hello to everyone. Take a few minutes while waiting for Bradford to call in. I got to acknowledge Buzzworthy, Carolyn White, Daytime After Dark, Drew Garrett Love. Guests. I mean, a million guests. Come on, guests. Go register. Take the minute, and it's free. Hi, Jenna is in the chat room. Hi, Jenna. It's been a long time. You haven't been around in forever and a day, so it's nice to see you. And, of course, Linda. And then there's a Me101. Hi, Me101. Don't know you. New York GH fan. Skinner Wiggum. Hi. Guests. There's so many of you. Take a minute and go register. I mean, seriously, so you can participate in the chat. I want to just give everyone their props and say hello. All right, let's see. I am waiting for Bradford Anderson to call in as we speak. So let's just see what I'm going to ask a question to you guys in the chat room. Tell me what you think about the Christina storyline. How do you think they're doing so far with portraying the social issue of teen violence, dating violence, because it is a real issue in the world. It doesn't get paid much attention to. You know, we always hear victims of abuse, you know, as adults, but you never really hear too much about it on the teen level, but it is very real. So what do you guys think about all that? Me101, yes, you're from Canada. Yes, you can still call. The phone number here is 347-945-5423. So you can definitely call in. I think that Lexi Ainsworth is doing an amazing job with it, but I do think that they are focusing too much on Sunny and the Mob. You're right. I think it was the wrong – I don't know if it was the wrong time or the right time to have it, because it kind of intertwines with the big trial. Yes, it should focus more on the abuse and not what to do about the abuser. You're absolutely right. It's again, a violent issue with really no consequences. So I don't know what to make of all that. So let's hopefully it'll pan out, and we'll see where we're going here with that one. Not really sure. We'll see what happens with it. Everybody that's on Twitter, what I want you all to do right now is start tweeting Bradford and tell him he's late. Because I'm doing it right now. You're late. Where are you? So if you're on Twitter and you're following Bradford, start tweeting him and tell him he's late. The best way to get him. How about that? Yes, I did hear that Morgan is being recast. He's going to be on another ABC show. I heard he got a pilot. I don't know too much about what the pilot is, but, you know, best of luck to him is all I can say. Not really too sure. I'm going to see who else I have here on the phone. Area code 760, what's your name and where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Escondido, California.
Okay, what's your name?
My name is Katina.
Okay, hold on. We're just waiting for Bradford to call in. He's late as usual, so just hang on a minute.
Okay.
Okay. And we have area code 952. What is your name and where are you calling from?
This is Pete in Minnesota.
Okay, Pete, hang on. All right. The switchboard is filling up, so we shall hopefully be hearing from Bradford. That's right, Jenna. Bradford's late for our date. I'm reading the chat room here. Who's Aaron? Oh, you mean the little boy that plays Morgan. Okay. You know, I can't really be mad at an actor because they want to move on to bigger and better things. If that's the case, then so be it. Let him go ahead and get on there, you know, and do his thing in prime time. I can't be mad at somebody for doing that. So definitely best of luck to him is what I can say. Best of luck to him. All right, you know what? I'm going to put you all on hold for just a few seconds. I'm going to play a song here while I try and figure out what's going on and get a call out to Bradford and find out why he's so late. And just give me a second here. Let me pull up a song. This is from one of my guests. It's called Love Is by Eugenie Cornelia. Thank you guys for being so patient. I am not really too sure what's going on with Bradford Anderson. I'm going to see who this is. Area code 205. Your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Katrina. I'm calling from Alabama.
Oh, wonderful. Hang on, Katrina.
Okay.
All right. All I can do is say is to get the Twitter word out. Bradford called me this afternoon, and we set this show up on the fly. So I'm sure he's going to call in. I'm not really too sure what's taking him so long, but he will be here because he knows it's good for him if he's not. That's all I got to say. So don't worry about that. I'm loving the fact that everybody went. A lot of people went and registered. You guys are great. There's still a lot of guests out here who are not registered. How cool was it today and on Friday to see Lindsay Leverman back on the canvas as Georgie, Maxie's sane advisor? I thought that was pretty awesome to have her back. It's a shame that it's not on a regular basis, but at the same time, I'm really excited that it was nice to see her and to have those emotional scenes between her and Kirsten Storms. So I'm sure that was pulled from real stuff, you know? Oh, wow. All right, what else is going on? So how do we feel about this trial? How many of you in the chat room think that Dante is going to just totally flip and become one of Sonny's cronies? That's what I want to know. How many of you think that that Dante is going to flip and become one of the cronies? A lot of you. I don't know. Yeah. Sonny makes everybody mad. I really hope that he doesn't, because that will kind of put a damper on things. I think you need that balance, if I'm not wrong. You know, I think you need the balance for Sonny, you know, to have that good son, bad son kind of thing. You know, Michael will probably end up being the bad kid. I think it's pretty cool if they'll leave him alone and just let us enjoy somebody who's not affiliated with the mob. Yeah, you're right, Trina Benna, 21. At least for a little while, but by the end of the year, he'll be on the payroll. Very, you know what, maybe. Yeah, I like the push and pull too, Jessica. But what about Kate? I mean, did anybody find it awkward when he ran into her at the courthouse? When Bradford comes on, I will start taking calls. Trust me. I see you in there, Me101. You can hear but not talk. No, nobody's talking until I pick up the phone. When it's time, I'll start taking callers. Let me see where we are on the switchboard. Okay. I'm going to pick up here. This is Neville J. Lee.
Hey.
Hello. Hey.
How are you? What's up?
I'm just like bewildered. I have no idea where he is. This happened on such the fly that
it was like last minute, man.
Very last minute. And all of a sudden now he's running late, I'm sure.
Am I saying it right? Skinner Wiggum. Hey, what's up? How you doing? I like your name. It was like such on the fly. I was like, all right, Bradford's coming along. I got to make my way over here. You know what I mean?
That's right. Well, what I'm asking everybody to do is get their butts in the chat, into Twitter, and start tweeting him, and let's find out where he is. You know,
tweet just Beeford at Anderson. That's what his Twitter name is. Beeford at Anderson.
Ben.
Where are you?
Not
okay.
Here.
You're Garrett Love, what's going on? You tweeted him twice. Yeah, where is he? You know, I don't know. He is thinking of being out there from the airport, but you know.
I know.
You're all here. I had to also, while we're waiting for our homeboy to show up.
Huh?
I read your piece.
Oh, on that dreadful.
Of that night, that thing you went to. Yeah. Huh? That was a little bad.
Can you feel my pain now?
I didn't like the part where you said that that guy grabbed your arm.
That is what set it off, Novell. That is what set it off, okay? That set it off for me. I mean, from that point on, that was the kicker. For those of you in the chat room who've never been to Stardust Radio, I started doing a blog. I'm not that great at it, but, you know, whatever. Just go read it. I went to a charity concert this weekend, and Brandon Barash was performing. And he of course, it's for charity, but I can't lie and say, again, that it wasn't to see Brandon because he's a really good singer, and the fact that he's on the West Coast, you know, this makes it made it all the better for me to go.
Yeah.
So he performed, and he was great, but you want to know something? It was such a horrifying experience. I will only donate money next time. I will not take the time out to go to this ridiculously put on show. I just can't do it. So I can't honestly rant about it anymore, but go to the blog and look at it. And then when you go to the blog, at the bottom of it, it says click here. Then you'll get to see the actual video that I took. And when you see that, like, Brandon's face is just completely washed out because of the bad lighting. Oh, God. It was just awful. Mm. Awful.
Yeah, awful. You said this was, like, a step down than this place that held it last year because, first of all, I don't know if any of you guys were aware of this or not, or of the charity of this, what this is. It was not wheelchair accessible.
No, it wasn't, and that was so sad. They, you know, this is a charity for children with disabilities, and the venue that they put it in was an old, old, old building in downtown Buffalo, and it was not wheelchair accessible. So that was pretty friggin' rotten, if you ask me. Oh. Okay, Novell, I got to put you on hold because look at who's here. The guest of honor has arrived.
Guest of honor.
Hello.
Hello. Oh, my goodness. How are you? I am so, so sorry. I am so, so sorry that I'm tardy.
Tardy. You're tardy. What's wrong with you?
I am tardy. My wife in a week and a half, as you may know, Kira, flew in. She was up in Sacramento in Northern California preparing for doing wedding details, and her flight was delayed, so I had to pick her up from the airport. I am so sorry.
Listen to me, Bradford. You can be late any time when it comes to dealing with the woman that you love. She comes first. We ain't going nowhere. We were just having fun chit-chatting. It's okay.
Okay, good. Well, thank you for being understanding, and I apologize because I chased you down to be on tonight, and then all of a sudden I'm late. Oh, my God, I feel terrible.
Oh, don't even sweat it. I was sitting here chit-chatting with Novell from Buzzworthy, who called in to say hello to you.
Hi, Novell. How are you, pal?
Am I still on mute?
You're not on mute.
Okay, I'm unmuted. What's going on, man? How are you?
I'm good. A lot going on in my life. A lot of really great stuff. So life is good. I can't complain.
Yes, you are allowed to be tardy, as you put it, to deal with the little lady. So we gave you full permission for that. But it's great. It's great to have you back here on this show on Stardust Radio, man. It's been a long time, man.
I know. I mean, it's. I mean, I have plenty of excuses in my personal life. I have no excuses for, I'm not doing anything in my TV life. I mean, I'm rarely on, so I have all the time in the world in theory, but.
Let's get into a little bit of that. So hang on a minute, Novell.
Okay.
I want to just, again, for those of you that are new in the chat room and haven't been on Stardust, just want to give you a little hit on Bradford and I. And how this came. Bradford was actually the very first guest on Stardust Radio 2 years ago.
So.
Yes, and he has promised to make an appearance each year after that I stay on the air. So now we are approaching the second year, April 1st. So I'm so happy that you had time to come in and celebrate a little early with me.
Of course.
David Canary, actually, from All My Children, will be with me on the 1st. So I'm left in
Good, 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 good. I was sad to hear that David is going to be stepping down from his place of patriarch in the ABC family.
Can you believe that? It's just wow. So it's going to be nice to talk to him about all that. But let's get
Absolutely.
To you, darling, because, you know, it has been almost a year since we've spoken.
Right.
Yeah, so you're about to celebrate your own milestone, as we just said, walking down the aisle in about a week and a half with the love of your life. So,
yes.
Of course, congrats to you.
Thank you, thank you.
Do you mind telling us a little bit about the woman who was able to capture you?
Yeah, well, I'm guessing most people that are listening are either aware of her or some, I'm sure, a good portion have met her, be it at Super Soap or at the many events that we have attended together. And her name is Kira. We knew each other in college vaguely. We were on the same training program and had a lot of the same friends, but didn't really have any one-on-one time. We didn't really converse much. And then 2 years ago, to the weekend that we're getting married, actually, it was April 12th of 08. Our mutual friends were getting married, and she was in the wedding, and I was an attendant. I was there, and we kind of got reacquainted, and it went from there. So,
wonderful.
Yeah, so it's nice because we have very similar backgrounds, similar group of friends. You know, we've had some similar life experiences, and so we're a good fit in many, many ways. And she's really hot.
You know. Well, hey, what the hell? What good is she if she's not? I mean, really? Oh, I'm so happy for you and for this milestone. And like you said, Spinelli's been kind of off canvas here and there, but I'll tell you today, you really, really impressed me today with your weepy scenes.
Oh, my weepy scenes. I know. It's so funny. Not to say that I've never weeped before on the show, but I think other people are card carriers of the weeping club, and I'm not necessarily one of them. So it's nice to break out my tears now and then.
Yeah, but this is a little different because honestly, I don't remember you crying on the show before, but this is something that was a little different.
Spinelli
got the love of his life, and you know, he's faced with losing her because he was trying to impress her. So
right.
He just saw the hurt in his face. So this is a lot different than anything, a lot more memorable, I think, to me anyway, than anything that you might have done previous.
Yeah, well, I think the stakes, you know, the stakes were higher. You know, what's funny is I remember, like, when we filmed the Georgie stuff,
right.
It was like, because it was so, like, because I found her dead, it sounds kind of ridiculous, but because I found, like, and there was so much other stimuli, like, I remember not feeling like I went as far as I could have gone in that moment when, and kind of being disappointed, but at the same time thinking, well, maybe that's, you know, when you're in shock like that, when you have that kind of experience, maybe that is more true to life, perhaps, whatever. And then when this happened, I didn't know what to expect. And it was weird because I was delivering it to a body double. It wasn't Kirsten. Kirsten was standing behind me with Lindsay.
Right.
So I wasn't sure how I'd feel about that either, you know. The speech was really well written and something that very clearly Spinelli would be those would most certainly be his words in that situation. And I really connected to the dialogue, and it made sense to me. It really made sense to me.
It was terribly sad.
I mean, it was really, really, really sad.
No, it was, and it stuck. It was a really good one. The dynamic between you and Kirsten has grown so much over the last year. It's like you just feed off of each other's energy, and the scenes that you do have together are fabulous.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Yeah, it's been interesting because it's been, you know, shown along with the, you know, it's been kind of a sideline story to the main story, which is, and, you know, I saw that some people were like, you know, Maxie's dying and they don't, you know, and then we're not on screen for a couple of days, you know, mm-hmm. like you just kind of, so it's been an interesting, you know, and you know, and we're not really, I guess Kirsten is kind of involved in that storyline, you know, I'm not as involved, so. But so I was really grateful that I got this kind of material because, you know, there's other big things going on in Port Charles. So.
Yeah, but this kind of storyline too shows another side of Spinelli. I think that people don't really appreciate too much or see too much to appreciate, I should say. And yeah, with the things that are going on now between the abuse and the trial.
Right.
It's just, I have my opinions about that, but I'll stay reserved right now. you know, but it, so this worked out good for you. But tell me, before I go back into that General Hospital stuff, how are you healing from your accident? This
pretty
ridiculous
good.
That you had. I can't get over you.
Say that again?
I said this ridiculous accident that you had on this ship.
I know. It was pretty ridiculous. It was so funny. I auditioned for, they're doing Rent at the Hollywood Bowl. If anyone knows the Hollywood Bowl, it's like where the LA Philharmonic play. And so it's like, and they do like concert versions of musicals with stars. And they, you know, so, I mean, I won't get it because I'm not the kind of star they're looking for. I'm not even sure how I got an audition. But Neil Patrick Harris is directing. So he was
okay.
In the room. He was in the room, and I walked in, and he just started laughing at me and started, like, saying, how did you hurt it? And without even waiting for my response, just started, like, saying, you know, putting out potential ways I could have hurt myself. And he just kept going on and on, and I was laughing. It was hilarious. But then,
oh, my God.
But finally I said, no, playing basketball on a cruise ship. And and he just loved that. So it is like ridiculous. I mean, when you say ridiculous, it is absolutely ridiculous. But I've noticed.
It happened last year to you too on the cruise.
I almost hurt myself. I put myself in a precarious position again on the basketball court. I don't know why I felt compelled to go back on it. Last year I got my feet like tangled in the netting because there's netting. Because, you know, since it's on a cruise ship, they have to barricade the cord in with – barricade is maybe the wrong word. But, you know, it's surrounded so the ball doesn't go into the ocean by netting. And it's not that far away from the actual court. So I was hustling, as I usually do, and got my legs tied – got my feet tied up in the netting and went down really hard. And I thought I was pretty lucky at that point that I didn't hurt myself. And then when you're later, I go back and I'm just kind of standing still and I try to move and boom goes the Achilles. And it just, you know, if I was going to hurt myself at any point on the ship, I would have thought it was getting my legs tight in the netting. But anyway, yeah.
That's well, I'm glad you're on the mend. I saw the pictures. Not a pretty sight.
Yeah. Did you see the one I put up today on Twitter? Is it still, it's still pretty gruesome, I guess.
What was it, the one from with the stitches, no?
Well, I put that one up, the one with that actually when the stitches were still in, I put that up, like, I don't know, a month and a half ago. But then today, I just downloaded a new Twitter app for my BlackBerry, and it's so much easier than my other one. So, like, I can take pictures on my phone and then immediately put it on my Twitter account. So, like, I took a picture of the dog today and put it up there. I took a picture of my foot. Like, I was just kind of Twitter happy today because the whole process was made easier for me.
I can't find a good one for BlackBerry. Which one are you using?
I use Uber Twitter.
Oh, I'm going to have to look at that because I don't even have one on my phone. Okay. I'm looking at your account now.
Yeah, because I was using Twitterberry and...
Oh.
And it was great at first, and then it wanted to update every time. Like, it wanted to update the program. Like, the new version is available, and I kept having, it was just, it ended up being more and more complicated. And so I tweeted less and less because it just became more difficult to do that. And I love putting up pictures. Like when we're doing events and stuff, and you know, I have great opportunities to do really fun things. And so it's nice to share that. But with the other one, I had to remember what my TwitPic email address was. And then I had to send it, like email it from my phone to this TwitPic address. And I'd always have to look up the TwitPic and then copy the email address. It just always gets so convoluted and complicated that I get so tired. I'm getting old, Joanne, and I'm injured. So I'm easily tired. I'm easily tired out.
Oh, Bradford, shut up. I didn't see me. Are you kidding me? You're telling this 40-year-old how old you're getting. Sure enough, honey. Sure enough. Listen, before I forget, I have to say, because my 9-year-old kind of wanted to stay up and talk to you, but I wouldn't let him. So he made me promise to say hello to you from Tyler and to tell you that he really likes, he loves Spinelli. So,
oh, good. Well, when he wakes up tomorrow, tell him I said hi.
I definitely will. Well, we've got a lot of stuff here. As you know, when you're here, the phone lines are always ridiculous.
Really? So, did people wait around? Did you lose a lot of people when I didn't show up for 20 minutes?
Wait till you go on Twitter, because I said, okay, I don't know where Bradford is. I said,
God, are people yelling at me? Let me go to a computer now. I want to see this.
Said, let's find out where he is. Everybody just start tweeting. I actually saw one of the people in the chat room tweeted Haley Poulos and asked her, can you call Bradford and tell him we're waiting for him?
Wow. Oh, yeah, I'm in it now. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, we're getting yelled at. Mad at you, but I can never be mad at you. That's okay. I'm not worried about it.
But
before I take anybody on the phone, I have to say I had an actor on the show the other day, who you probably met at Broadway Cares. Oh God, what the hell is his name now that I can't think of it? Is this retarded? I'm the one that's getting old.
Is that Broadway Cares? What show is he on?
He's on One Life to Live. Ford from One Life to Live. David.
Is that
his
character name?
Dave Ford is his character name. People in the chat room. David, David Gregory.
Yeah, no,
David
Gregory. He's the guy that takes his shirt off, right?
Yes.
He's the new Cameron Matheson?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Famous for his abs, right.
Yes, okay.
Well, it was really funny in the Broadway Care scene that he did. They, it was this whole scene with, it was a take on The Wizard of Oz. And the contest winner or the auction winner was Dorothy, and so all these guys were coming along like introducing themselves, and he came on and he's like, "What? You don't recognize me?" Then he took his shirt off and like doused himself with water, and he's like, "Do you recognize me now?" And she's like, "Oh yeah." And so I've never seen him on the show, but it was pretty clear from how they portrayed him in the in the skit that he is known for certain. Lack of clothes, I guess. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. But what I wanted to say about him was, since he is pretty much a newbie in daytime, I told him, and I told you this in private, in messages, and I told every actor that comes on here that's pretty new to soaps when they first come on Stardust, always remember where you came from. Always keep your fans at the back of your head. They're the reason that you're still on the show that you're on. And I have to say that out of the 2 years of doing this, and I've done over 200 shows now in the two
over
years.
Over 200
I've done,
shows?
I've done over 200 shows now.
Wow. That's amazing.
People, it's not friggin' insane. And it's not just people anymore, So, I expanded a little bit. But
right, yeah, I noticed that. I wasn't sure if you were like SoapNet and we're going to forget about us. But
get the hell out of here. I'd never forget about you. You always always take precedence as far as I'm concerned. But my point is that over the 2 years of doing this and doing interviews with various soap stars, I have to say that you are probably the number one person in my book that has kept it real
with his fans from day one. Even though your life does get busy, you know, you still make sure, whether it's through here and we get to talk or on Twitter or wherever, you always make sure your fans know where you stand and with your various blog posts on MySpace or whatever. You always make sure that they know that, you know, you do think of them. And I have to commend you for that because over the 2 years, I've seen a lot of that dwindle in some soap stars, which is pretty disappointing to me. But you, I always had faith that you would never be like that, and I'm so happy that you stayed the way that you were when I first met you.
Well, thank you. That means a lot to me, and I'm so glad to hear you say that because, you know, I mean, yes, I mean, there are moments where I kind of catch myself and go, wait a second, you know, I get caught up in other things, and not that I ever lose appreciation, but I find myself not, you know, not paying the attention that I want to and that I always have and want to continue doing in the ways that I want to. So, so thank you, because that is something that's very, very important to me, and it's nice to hear you say that. So thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Our first meeting will always be memorable to me. SoapNet.
Likewise to me.
SoapNet camera. In front of MGM,
right.
Orange soda, and chip. You remember that?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, that was what? I mean, two years ago. Almost 3 years ago. That's crazy.
Uh-huh. I know,
crazy.
I know. All right, it's just great.
It's funny, I still feel like the new guy. I still feel like the new guy, but I'm so not the new guy anymore.
No, you're not. Your General Hospital's having a little bit of shakeups over there. Recasting Drew Garrett.
Yeah. I'm not really aware of, you know, as I said, since I'm not involved in this storyline, I haven't been around so much to see what's going on. But
right.
You know, I have met the new Michael Chad. He's a very nice guy. Seems to be a very talented kid. You know, I don't really know what went down.
Right.
It's strange. I mean, I mean, the timing is strange because the character is in such a big storyline right now. So, they must have felt really strongly about something. I'm not sure what it was.
And then I heard today also that they're recasting the little boy that plays Morgan.
That's news to me.
That was on a show, another blog talk show. Someone from Soaps. One of the soap magazines was on another talk show, and he confirmed that they were recasting him.
The only reason I would guess for that is little Aaron works
mm-hmm.
his butt off. He is in demand everywhere, and I know he booked a pilot.
Yeah.
So maybe they didn't want to have to compete with that.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I did say to everybody, because you know how the soap fans are. They don't like recasts too much. And, you know, you got to give everybody a shot.
It's hard because, you know, everyone gets used to seeing somebody and you see them for every day for so long, you get attached to them. And it's weird. I totally understand that. It's weird for us. You know, it's weird all around. Yeah.
Well, yeah, you're working with a kid for a little over a year or so. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, the part of Michael Corinthos is being played by. And you're like, what?
I know,
really?
Yeah. I'm of course I was sad to see Drew Garrett go as well, but I'll be very sad to see Aaron leave because he is a talented little boy. Or a talented young adult. I mean he is more of a young adult than a little boy. I mean he's got a great head on his shoulders, has an incredible work ethic, a really good attitude. Is really, really, really talented. Do you remember when he sang in the karaoke night? Sounded like, I mean, they sang, he and Haley sang ABC. I mean, he sounded like a little Michael Jackson. The kid's got a voice.
It was really good. Yeah. I wish they would bring some more of that back. I think that was something that General Hospital needs. They need the light moments because there's so much doom and gloom.
The levity.
You know, there's too much mob going on. You need to have that fun something or other, you know?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. We're going to need a karaoke scene pretty soon, I think.
I think so.
we're getting pretty deep.
It is.
From what everybody's telling me, Kira is on Twitter apologizing for delaying you. Tell her don't be ridiculous.
Oh, let me go into the next room and say, good girl, thank you for... thank you, Kira, for...
Completely
for,
unnecessary.
Yeah, well, she's a good one. What can we say?
You tell her I said, no worries, she's more important. We're here, we ain't going nowhere, so don't worry about it.
I'm so glad. Yes, thank you for everybody for being patient and for hanging around.
Oh, well, let's go to the phone,
because
you know we got some people waiting on you. Let's go to area code 626. What is your name, and where are you calling from?
Hello, my name's Heather, and I'm calling from New York.
All right. Hi, Heather from New York.
Hello. Okay, first I have to say that Haley says hi, because I was tweeting with her, and I told her I was waiting to listen to you, so she wanted me
Haley
to tell you she says hi.
Haley Poulos?
Yeah.
Oh, good, good. Oh, we'll tell her I said hi back.
Okay, I told her I would. And my question actually had to do with karaoke. Are we going to see Spinelli sing any more karaoke?
You know what? I think he might need to sing like a ridiculous bluesy song like Nobody Knows the Trouble I've Seen, you know, that kind of thing, like Down in the Dumps. I mean, I know we've seen a lot of, like, sad Spinelli, but I have a feeling that there's more coming up.
Yeah.
You know, I could be wrong. I could be wrong. But it seems like, you know, I'm not sure. I don't want to put words in the writer's mouth, but it seems like they're at least creating space for a little bit of, you know, trials and tribulations for Spinelli and Maxi. You know, I'm not sure if it's just to give us some story to make things difficult for a time being, you know, because that's, you know, that gives us more story if there's, you know, if she's doubting or, you know, if he's doubting, you know, like that's how you make story is by creating complications. So that may be it, or they may be, you know, who knows? It's always kind of fun, like we're on this roller coaster ride that we don't know, even, you know, us actors have no idea where it's going, so kind of fun.
Yeah, Spinelli had me in tears today. I was crying.
Aww.
Thank you. Yeah, it was sad, that's for sure. But then she woke up. She woke up. She said, screw you, Georgie, I'm staying.
Yep. So that was nice. I'll let you go so other fans could talk to you.
Thank you for calling in, Heather.
You're welcome. Bye.
Thanks, Heather.
Bye.
This next caller, her name is Carly. Carly,
please
go to Bradford. Yeah, right?
Oh my God, I love you playing Spinelli, and the thing that you and Jason have is so dynamic, so wonderful, and if there are any good things coming up, so like, you guys will be in a really good story, or what's going
on?
Well,
I hope so. Well, first of all, thank you for all those nice things you said, Carly. That's very sweet. Thank you very much. I hope so. I think, I know that people with the show realize that the Spinelli and Jason storyline is pretty special, and especially if he's having girlfriend issues, non-wife issues, as we call them, Jason is certainly the person that he will go to talk about it. And if there isn't any, if the love storyline for Spinelli is kind of on hold, then the only other storyline that he really has is with Jason. So I would assume that there's going to be more coming up.
I have two more questions. I love you. I fell in love with you and Maxi. I'm like, you guys are like the greatest couple, you know, next to Jason and Liz, but you guys are the greatest couple. And I fell in love with you.
You say next to Jason and Liz?
Yeah.
They're not even a couple. Come on.
Well, okay, but you are my number one couple right now, but the thing is...
Yeah, thanks, Carly.
I do not want to see a breakup between you two, because that would be dumb. You have forgiven her for accidentally sleeping with Funko, and
right.
I just think you guys should, you know, get married, do the real wedding. I wanted to see that wedding. I wanted to see Spinelli marry Maxi. I mean, I want to see it. And my other question before I will let everyone go is, can you punch Sonny? Because you always forget Sonny when he treats you like an idiot, and you're not. And I'm like, when is Spinelli going to, like, slap him? Because Sonny had never thanked you for anything or have done anything. I just think you need to, like,
physically assault him.
Yeah, well, no, not that, but I just thought, wait a moment, Jason and you are like brothers, and Jason, so yell at Sonny for putting you down all the time. If it was, Sonny made you do the whole head thing when he tossed, you know, and try and bash your head in.
I think Spinelli should, also, the food delivery guy just showed up, and my dog is going nuts. It's kind of really funny. Yeah, he goes crazy after the doorbell rings.
I just thought that would be good. And my other thing is, I have my own.
Hello? Carly?
Carly, did you go away?
Dead.
Hello?
It's
Joanne, you're there, right?
Yes, sweetie. I hear your dog, though. Tell me the story about your dog.
My dog, his name is Huckleberry. He's a little Yorkie. And he's a guard dog. He is the most lovable but yet protective guy you'll ever meet. We got him just right around the holidays last year from Leslie Charleston. Leslie Charleston's assistant has Yorkies and Maltese, and she was telling Kirsten about the fact that she had Yorkie puppies because Kirsten has all Yorkies, and now she has a Maltese too. I overheard and jumped in, and we went over and met Huck, and that was it.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Cute.
He provides for a lot of entertainment. But,
I bet. He's a yapper.
Yeah. So, but thanks for calling in, Carly. And, yes, I'm going to – someday Spinelli's going to take out
Sonny
and become the – I think Kira had mentioned this to me a couple times, and I think it's a great idea. Wouldn't it be amazing to see Spinelli be, like, the head of the mob? Wouldn't that be something else?
You know what I see? Not for nothing. I mean, Jason, Mr. Big Enforcer, I kid about this all the time, but I think that it should actually come true. We haven't really seen Jason kill anybody in a really, really long time. I mean, he talks about it. He's a big, tough talker. But
right.
He does more investigating than the friggin' cops do. Why don't they just make him a cop? I mean, really? Make him a cop. Let him go into a partnership with you and Sam, and just become a cop. Because
that's a great idea, or like a bounty hunter, like
Stone
Cold the bounty hunter, like dogs
people.
About.
Yes.
Yeah. That's a great idea.
So he can shoot.
That's a great storyline. That's a great storyline. Having the cops hire. I'm not sure if they do that.
Well, no, I don't know if the cops do it, but you know, I think that. Jason would serve better as a bounty hunter than he does as an enforcer, because he's a soft-ass enforcer who doesn't kill at will. He wants all the facts before he goes to kill somebody.
Right.
And we all know in you know, the traditional quote-unquote mob, that's not how it's done. So I would definitely like to see him do something like that. You guys hire him as a bounty hunter, use the private investigators, and let him work for you. I mean, that's, I think, so much better. It would make Jason a little bit more redeemable in the eyes of people who call him the enforcer. I don't know. Just saying, Mr. Bob Guza, hello. You know, rattle it off to him a little bit there, Bradford.
Absolutely. I see what you're saying. I mean, that's the thing I love about this genre on this show is that really any storyline they can do, any storyline.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, granted, there are, you know, people, you know, have certain ideas about what their character would and would not do, but I mean, at the end of the day, we can do anything. And that's really that's really fun, you know. So
right, no, I think so. Definitely put it out there. Put the bird in Steve's ear, and tell him he heard it.
But Sonny and Jason can never be like against each other for long. It's, you know, it doesn't take too long for them to kiss and make up. Like, remember when Jason was the boss for a little bit? I mean, you know, the power. I don't know. I think it's because Sonny always needs to be, I think Sonny likes to have Jason as his right-hand man and as his.
Okay, well, we have Dante now. Hello,
that's true.
Too long. You know, we were talking about that in the chat while when we were waiting. How long
about
do you
what?
Think? We were talking about Dante in the chat while we were waiting for you. How long do you really think it take before Mr. Good Cop becomes part of the payroll? People are giving him to the end of the year.
Yeah, I think you might be right.
You know? Oh, hey.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm not saying this from any, like, insider knowledge, but the way things tend to go is that, you know, Sunny is the magnet for... is the magnet for most story, you know, because he's he's like the male lead of our show, so that's how it works, and you know, so with Dante as a cop, how many stories of pitting them against each other can you do before they have to do what you said, and then you know, then it becomes
and
then there's more
hate?
Stories to play out. Yeah, and then there's plenty of stories within that too, so. Yeah, I mean, it depends how many stories they can figure out where they can pit them against each other, and before it becomes redundant, you know. So I would venture to say that you're probably right, that that's inevitable at some point.
Yeah, exactly. So. All right, let's go here to area code 401. What is your name and where are you calling from?
My name is Roxanne. I'm calling from Seekonk, Massachusetts. I'm from Providence.
New England. All right, sorry. Go ahead.
Exactly. I don't watch the show, Bradford. I'm just calling to let you know. This is a fucking Red Sox year, 2010.
Ooh. All right. If you don't watch the show, how did you even know to come on?
Because I know people.
Okay. Oh yeah. No, I think you're right. I mean, John Lackey, our rotation is stellar. Everyone is underestimating our offense. I totally agree with you. I think this is a great year for the Sox. For the Sox.
Underestimate us. Always.
Yeah.
They always underestimate us.
Yankees. Sorry. Oh, excuse me.
Oh, come on, Joanne. Don't you live in Florida?
No, darling. I live in New York now, Bradford. Where am I from? I'm from New York.
Yeah, she's from New York.
Are you back in New York now?
I've been back in New York for the last 2 years.
Wow. Oops.
It's been a long time, darling.
It doesn't matter. You don't live in New Hampshire anymore, but you still love the Red Sox.
That's true. It's a good point. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I mean, you're right. It is. All Yankees fans should convert. I totally agree. Someday they'll see the light. I don't know when it's going to happen, but.
I know.
Just called, you know.
Well, thank you. Thank you for putting us on the baseball and sports track. I'm sure everyone else loves you for doing that.
I understand. They don't understand. We're all one big happy family over here.
Wow.
Amazing.
That's funny.
It's true. Well, it's true, and I have tickets for Monday. I just found out, so hopefully it's
Great. Oh, that's great. I'm sure it doesn't matter. Even in a little rain, it'll be fine. But, well, thank you. Thank you so much. Go Sox.
Bye.
Thanks, Ross.
All right, bye.
That's funny.
That was great. That's
yeah,
great.
That's all right, whatever. I don't care who wins, honestly. If the New York team is in to win, then I'm for the New York team. It could be the Yankees or the Mets. I could care less.
I know. I love rooting for the Mets. It's a terrible – I mean, I feel bad for people that live and die with the Mets because, I mean, that's a terrible existence. But I like rooting for the Mets. I really do. When I lived in New York, I tried to be a Mets fan. I tried because, you know, I'm never going to be a Yankees fan, and – you know, I always like to have a National League team, too, so I tried to make it a Mets, and boy, was it hard.
Yeah, it's
hard.
Definitely hard. My oldest brother is a lifelong Mets fan. He's 40-some-odd years old now, and he sticks with them through whatever. He don't care. That's his team.
Is he a happy person?
No. God, he's a miserable son of a bitch. really?
Oh,
he's
too bad.
Miserable guy. Oh, gosh. All right, let's go here to area code 205. 205, what's your name and where are you calling from? Alabama.
Oh,
yes, Alabama.
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
It's Katrina. Hi, Bradford.
Hi, Katrina. How are you?
I'm good.
Yeah, what's going on in Alabama?
Not much. Never much. Never much is going on here, but.
That's part of the charm, right?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Exactly. It's a slower life down here, but, you know, it's all right.
Yeah. So what's on your mind?
Well, let's see. I was going to ask you about what was coming up for Spinelli, but you kind of gave us a little bit of a hint, I think. Let's see.
The truth of the matter is I don't know.
Okay.
Like, you know, I mean, those are the things that I would just, those are
that's me just speculating, you know, with the stuff of, you know, when they put a little bit of doubt in Maxie's mind, chances are they're going to try to give us some complications. And, you know, as much as that is unfortunate because the coupling is, you know, we have a good time, it doesn't necessarily mean that we're not going to be a couple anymore. It just means that they're trying to give a story, and the only way to give a story is to add complication, you know.
I wish that they could have a story for happy couples, but sometimes, you know.
I know. Yeah, it's not really what happens on...
No,
it's not really what happens in Port Charles.
As long as they end up back together, you know, eventually, I think, you know, we can...
I think it would be silly for them to, you know, I know they have a research department. You know, I know that the network has a research department, and from what I don't know everything about the reactions to the show, but from the little that I do see, we seem to be pretty popular, and it seems that people like. So I would think that they are at least aware of that. So one would imagine that they would try to foster that in some fashion. So,
I have another question.
Sure, go ahead.
When you had hurt yourself, you said that you hope that you'd be able to walk down the aisle at your wedding. Do you think that you'll be able to, or are you going to have to use a cane?
Well, I have this boot, this strap-on boot thing, and, like, because basically my tendon is in pretty good shape. It's just not stretched out, so I can't, it's not stretched out enough to do the full walking motion.
Aww.
And if I were to try to do the full walking motion, it would put so much stress on the tendon that it might rip again. That's the danger, and the boot prevents me from doing that. It prevents me from stepping through it. So when I have the boot on, I can actually be pretty nimble. I can move around. I can, you know. So what I might do is I ordered a couple pairs of shoes online, and then ordered some heel lifts because the heel lifts protect the tendon a little bit. So I might wear, like, regular shoes for the ceremony, and then for the reception, once the drinking starts and all that, I might go back into the boot. I might go into the boot just for protection's sake, you know?
Well, you know, that sounds like, at least, it's, you know, it seems like it's getting better. I saw the picture today,
yeah,
so it looked way
totally
better than the first one that you posted.
But I bought a bunch of canes online, and I got a nice black one with this, like, chrome loop around the top that looks pretty fancy, so I'll have that with my tux. But my tux fits me like a glove, so there's no way that the pants will go over the boot. If I wear the boot, it'll be pretty conspicuous. But that's all
right. Oh, okay. Well, thanks for talking to me, Bradford. I really enjoyed Snelling.
Of course.
I enjoyed Snelling Maxie, and I'll be watching. So.
Thank you. Thank you for staying up.
A couple more questions.
Are you having a
PA with Laura Wright in New York?
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I know she, you know, this is kind of her. It was her event that she was planning, and she, everything she does now involves wine. That's one of the reasons why I love her so much. So she was looking for someone to join her, and you know, I think with wine on the menu, she immediately thought of me. And, you know, she and I have a great time together, and her husband and my wife, if I can begin to say that now, get along really well. We have a really good time together, so that will be really fun. So, yeah, that is, I know it hasn't been posted yet. Like, I know she's put it on her Twitter, and I think obviously I'm talking about it. It's not up on the, Coastal Entertainment coastalentertainment.com is the promoter for that event. Like, that's who is organizing it. I don't think it's up on their website yet, but it should be soon. It's like July 24th, 25th, 26th, or 25th, 26th, 27th. It's that weekend.
Okay.
And it's the regular, like, New York, Long Island, Jersey circuit.
Okay.
So,
well, cool. Great.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully I'll
yeah.
go.
Yeah.
Right.
It'll be super,
thanks,
it'll be super fun. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks.
Well, thanks for calling in.
All right, bye.
Thanks.
Bye.
Let me ask you, does it get tiring for you on General Hospital to continue to talk like someone from outer space?
Well, you know, it's funny. I feel like that is – sometimes I watch the show and I'm like, wow, it's gone. You know, like I don't – it's obviously been toned down over the years,
not intense as it was in the beginning, where you couldn't understand.
Not nearly.
Yeah.
Yeah, not nearly as intense. It's not code like it used to be. There's not, like, mythical substitutions for every situation anymore. It doesn't take them 2 pages to make a point. And I remember when I first got on the show, I wanted it to go away soon because I think I wanted him to be, I don't know, I want it to be normal or something. Like, I don't know what I want. But the longer I've been there, the more I realize the importance of his quirkiness, because otherwise, why is he there? You know, I mean, without his quirkiness, he's, you know, like, it's clear that he is an other. He is not one of the, you know, he doesn't, in theory, belong on a soap opera, you know, and some people, that is their complaint, that, you know, they watch their soaps to be, they want their soaps to be like a fantasy world for them where everyone looks a certain way and, you know, and behaves a certain way, and he clearly doesn't fit into that. And but if the quirkiness goes away, then he's just some, like, you know, quirky-looking guy that is, you know, to see Spinelli be a brooding, it just wouldn't be interesting. Like, I think that the whole reason why he's interesting is that he's an outsider, and, you know, he's trying to figure out how to fit into these situations in this town where everyone is different than him. And so if that goes away completely, then there's no need for him to be there anymore. So,
right.
Yeah.
I agree.
So I kind of celebrate that now at this point.
Right. They're chatting it up in the chat room, and they're saying, remember when he was like a hippie and he got Alexis weed? It was fun when you were a pothead. Remember that?
Well, that's the thing. I remember my mom saying not too long ago, she's like, what happened to Good Times, Spinelli? He's always so sad.
Yeah.
And it's true. I mean, I remember when he came on, he was like, he had this, this kind of like aloof arrogance. Like it almost seemed like egotistical, but it wasn't like, it was just kind of this...
him. It was innocent. It was innocent.
It was an innocent arrogance, yeah. You know, he was on top of the world in his little world. But it makes sense to me. Once he tried to, you know, once he got to this town and realized that in order to converse with these people, he had to, you know, he had to change a little bit to make it, you know, to make it in that town. And, but yeah, maybe, you know, maybe we gotta find some fun again.
Yeah, I think
funny,
so.
But it's funny, whenever he's with Jason, the fun comes back very quickly because he feels very comfortable with Jason, you know. So that fun comes back very quickly. But when he's with Maxie, one thing about Maxie is that, you know, when he's insecure around Maxie, even though, you know, they do have a comfort level now, you know. He's not, you know, he's only goofy in the way that the goofiness comes from him not being able to behave the way he should in a relationship. That's where the humor comes from, is him messing up. But him messing up leads to him being sad. So,
right.
So it's tough. In a relationship, I'm not sure how he is fun-loving and goofy because there's so much at stake for him because he's fragile in a way, you know?
Right. Yeah, he is, and it seems that Jason, even though Jason loses his temper with him, Jason and even Sam are really the only people who accept him other than Maxie for who he is and can kind of tolerate him to the point where it's like no big deal if the way he talks or the way he acts. You know, it's obvious that Spinelli only feels comfortable around those three people. And not even so much Maxie as much as Sam and Jason. And to interact with other people in Port Charles, you can see the level of uncomfortableness, you know, that he has with people. It's almost like he's afraid to come out of the shell. He's like that turtle poking his head out, like, can I come out? Can I come out? Let me see.
Right.
Let me test the waters a little.
And some, you know, obviously some of the funny came out of that, too, like his scenes with Sonny in the early years were, I say the early years, it sounds like he's been on for, but I mean, 3 years, hey, whatever. But, you know, there was fun in that, you know, but he was afraid of Sonny, but he was so clumsy with his words and what he said that he was, you know, that it was funny. And, you know, I had a scene with him, don't know, I had a scene with Carly. There's an upcoming storyline with when Jason makes a decision regarding the trial, and Spinelli goes to Carly about it, and so he and Carly have a couple scenes, and then they go to Sonny about it. So there's another scene with Sonny, and mm-hmm. so I do like how Sonny affects Spinelli still. He's still, they do have that same relationship where Spinelli will get his courage up to talk to Sonny, but it never ever goes accordingly, you know. Right. So there's always something there that there's always room for humor in that because it is, you never know where it's going to go.
Right, right. Well, what I'm going to mention here in the chat room, they're all saying, I'm just going to throw it out there, is that people really want the backstory of Spinelli to come to life. They want Granny to show up, and they want to know more about how he grew up and his childhood. So I think that's something for
yeah.
new campaigners out there that like to do the postcards and stuff like that. You know, start doing a campaign on who's Spinelli's daddy or something. I don't know. To kind of bring it to the forefront. We need to know a little bit more about Spinelli. I think it's about time, actually.
Right. Yeah.
You know.
Well, I just went to Bonnie Bartlett's IMDb page because I, you know, she was on the show in 2006, and so I wanted to see if she's working, if she's, I mean, I'm not sure if she, you know, I don't know her personally other than working with her, and, you know, I wanted to see what she is. I hate to say it, but, I mean, she is still with us. So I wonder where she is. Or, I mean, I'm sure she did a Grey's Anatomy episode in 2008. So, but anyway, so, I mean, she's still, you know, I'm not sure she's still working, but she was so great. I had so much fun with her. That was in 06. That was fall of 06. That was, like, when
yeah.
she was
when
still coming in and out of town. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and I'll just throw this name out there anyway, because, you know, before you, I just had on Joan Benedict Steiger, Rod Steiger's widow. I just did
yeah.
a piece with her. She actually was on General Hospital for 3 years and
really?
Said she would love to go back to General Hospital. And she's definitely grandmother age, so.
Yeah, I mean, that's to say, yeah, they don't necessarily need Bonnie to come back to play that role. You're right, they could bring it back.
Yeah. You could let them know you got an Academy Award winner's wife that wants to come back to General Hospital.
Yeah.
So.
It's great. We're getting, you know, we still, it's nice. We can, you know, the guest stars that we still are able to get, you know, Michael Learned is doing a guest star, a bit of a story arc, and you know, people were thrilled to see her.
Christopher's
so,
coming back. I'm very excited about that.
What's that?
Robin Christopher is coming back.
Yeah, it's so funny. I ran into her in the building the other day, and you know, I haven't seen her. I mean, she's almost started airing, so I mean, she's been back. Has she started airing?
No, actually, I think the 31st, Wednesday,
okay.
and she's
yeah.
yeah.
So I mean, she's been around for at least 3 weeks now, and you know, I haven't mm-hmm. seen her, so I wasn't sure, you know. And I ran into her, and it was so good to see her. She is such like a there's such a positivity that follows her around. You know, she's just a wonderful, wonderful lady.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm so excited that she's back. Yeah, it seems like the Quartermains are getting a bit of a shot in the arm. You know, like,
well, you know, how can you kill off the Quart family, really? You know what I
yeah.
mean? They started killing them off slowly. You better start bringing some of them back.
Yeah, no, you're right.
The fans got really pissed about that.
I'm on your website as well, and I just saw Betty White as Granny. That's awesome. Yeah, she's busy. She's just doing Saturday Night Live. She's too busy to be on our show, I guess. But
yeah. Well, let's go.
That woman
to air. Who?
The man. Sorry, go ahead.
What woman?
Betty White.
Oh yeah, could you imagine having Betty White? That would be awesome to have Betty White.
That
come
would
on
be that
be
would be pretty
mother.
Perfect. I mean, she would be a perfect Spinelli. You know, she definitely belongs in the Spinelli family. You know?
Because Rose from the Golden Girls could have been Spinelli's grandmother, you know? I mean, really?
I know. If Spinelli was from, what, St. Olaf? Is that what where she was from?
Olaf.
Yeah?
Yes.
I mean, did I just age myself? I mean, that's...
I watch it on TV Land at nighttime. Hello. I still watch the Golden
still
Girls.
On. Okay.
It's
that,
still
I remember.
On.
I remember Saturday night, Golden Girls and Empty Nest. I remember when they were doing a schedule change, like Empty Nest is like, move it, move it, move it, Empty Nest is moving, 8, 9 o'clock on Saturday night, And, like, it was this whole, I remember the advertising, the marketing campaign to, like, say, but I remember when Saturday night was, like, a huge TV night, Golden Girls and Empty Nest, and, yeah. Those were great shows. Yeah, like, late 80s.
Late 80s, yeah. Those were definitely great shows. I know.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Now I feel old. All right. Let's go to area code 416. What is your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Isha. I'm calling from Toronto, Canada.
Hey, are you paying long distance or do you have, like, Vonage or Skype or something?
It's not Skype, but I have one of those things where you call before you dial in the actual number and then it gives you less charges.
There you
go.
Oh,
good. Well, all right. We'll try to be concise so we don't cost you so much money. Thank you so much for calling.
Oh, no problem. It's okay. Okay, so I actually have two questions. First of all, I absolutely adore Spinelli and Maxi's pairing. But lately I feel, well, lately as in it's been a little while now, I feel like they kind of lack women. Their kisses aren't as, you know, I don't know. Like, it just doesn't seem the same as the other couples. Is there a kind of reason for that? Are the directors and stuff, do they want you guys to play more like friends? Or I'm wondering what the issue is.
That's interesting. You cut out in the middle. Were you saying that the physical moments have been less kind of passionate? Is that what you said?
Yeah, that too. And I feel like there's less of them compared to, let's say, Jason and Sam or some of these other.
Oh, couples. Yeah, just less of them. Yeah. No, I think, you know, they, when they did the Spinelli, like, since Spinelli and Maxi had the non-wedding, I think that was a culmination a bit of their storyline. And also, that was also around the time that Franco came in, that the Dante storyline picked up. So they, and those storylines required a lot, you know, that required a lot of time on, you know, that kind of took over the show for a bit, and, you know, rightfully so. I mean, those were story, you know, obviously when someone like James Franco comes in, you're sure you're going to pay it a lot of attention. And then the Dante storyline was something that, you know, not only was everyone excited about, but it affected the whole storyboard, you know, like when, so I think, you know, with all that going on, the characters that weren't involved in that were used less, you know, which is bound to happen. So, so I, you know, and so since, you know, since the end of last summer, yeah, so I'm sorry. So ask, you were about to say something.
No, I'm just wondering, like, it just seems that I know they're supposed to be a romantic couple, but sometimes they more just have a friendship-y vibe. And
right.
I was reading a Kirsten Storms interview, and she said that sometimes it's like the romance is not really written into the scenes. So I'm just wondering, is that like a choice, or is there, I don't know, really.
Yeah, no, I think it is. I think their relationship is not built on passion.
Yeah.
Is maybe the best way I can say it. It is built on friendship, but their friendship is so unique and special to them that it kind of goes in and out of romance in that sense. So it's very easy to fall into friendship, and because the scenes are written often in a lighthearted way, that they're not written like Johnny and Olivia scenes. You know, they're, you know, so I think Kirsten's right that sometimes it's not in the scene. That passion is not in the scene. And when the passion is.
Being a fan, it would be nice to get that one day, though. I mean.
I know. Yeah. You know, oftentimes when we do have love scenes, it goes towards the comedic side. Because when Spinelli's in
the
scene off.
The camera
pans
away, like, right away. It's kind of crazy.
Well, I mean, maybe if I went to the gym a couple times, it wouldn't. So.
All right.
You know, so that might be my fault.
Okay, no problem. I was just wondering. And also, I have another question. So on the show today, they kept mentioning how Maxi likes bad boys and all that kind of stuff. I'm wondering, and it's been brought up, like, for a while, starting with Johnny and then Franco. Is it something that you think Spinelli and Maxi will ever really get over? Like, will he start feeling more confident about who he is and accepting her love? And will she get over what her reaction is to all those bad boys?
Really hard to say. I think the next step for Spinelli would be to do something that he really not, and that really makes him question his own morality. Like, the thing with Maxi just feels like stupidness, like, or foolishness. Like, I made this stupid choice and I put someone I love in danger. But if he does something that actually questions his morality, like if he ends up being put in a situation where he has to, you know, maybe kill someone or something like that, mm-hmm. that will, you know, that could have a really, really dramatic effect on him. And, you know, I think we may be done with the Spinelli trying to be the bad boy for Maxie's sake.
Oh, that's really good. I'm happy to hear that.
You know, I mean, I think this was kind of the last straw. It's like, okay, I'm going to try to be this guy for her, mm-hmm. and then you know, put her on the brink of death. You know, I'm not sure how much further that, you know, the next time they would do something like that, what could the consequence be? I mean, she almost dies in this one, like, you know. So
yeah.
I would guess that there's nowhere else to go with that kind of thing. So, mm-hmm. So I don't know. I think the only way to make that happen is I don't think she's ever going to have the revelation that, oh, Spinelli as is the right kind of guy for me. I don't see that. I think it would take a change in him, not for her sake, but, you know, because of his own life circumstances. And so in that sense, then there might be a new story for that, like her realizing that, wait a second, he's a changed man. He's still the man I love, but there's something different about him. And maybe, you know, who knows? But I would guess it would go more in that direction. But this is, you know, I don't know what's happening tomorrow on the show, let alone
right.
2 months from now, you know. But that's a great question. That's a great question. Thank you.
Yeah, that sounds really good. I hope to see that then someday.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
So.
Well, thanks so much. It was great talking to you.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for calling in.
No problem. Bye.
Thank you.
Yeah, she brought up a great point, because I'm really tired of them putting Spinelli in that position where he feels he has to prove so much to Maxie. You know, it's like, she loves you, dude, you know, and but then again, it's almost like if they toy with, you know, his emotions by her wanting to be with a bad boy. So, it's, you know, it's kind of like a little tease, I guess.
Yeah.
It's annoying.
It is, and I can totally understand why it is, and but that right now that's the conflict, and so you know, so that's why I think that's why it gets played, and I don't know, we'll see. I'm not sure if they'll take us further into breakup land to mm-hmm. get us back together, or if they'll take us further into breakup land and then kind of take a while to get us back together, or you know, I mean, they're gonna pull us apart. I have to imagine. I mean, I'm guessing. You know, I'm not sure if it's far apart or just a little bit apart, but my guess is that's what has to happen now.
Right.
So who knows? It might be far apart for a year and then find them back together. Like,
right.
I mean, that other girl, Carly said that Jason and Liz are still a couple. And if Jason and Liz are still a couple, you have to have some hope for future, because, I mean, there's nothing in the present, obviously. I mean, Liz is in the paternity test with case with two other guys that aren't Jason. So the liaison fans are definitely, you got to be holding on to some thin strings of hope for that.
Yeah, I don't know about all that. Well, let's move on from that subject. Let's go to area code 815. This is Jenna, and she lives in Illinois.
Hey, Joanne. Hey, Bradford.
Jenna from Illinois?
Yep, Jenna.
All
yep,
right.
Jenna Venna Radio.
How are you, dear?
I'm fine. I'm actually hopefully going to be at your event in Chicago on the 26th of June, hopefully.
Fantastic.
Because I really want to meet you. That'd be cool. That would be awesome. I actually haven't met anybody from General Hospital yet, and I really want to. So.
But wait a second. There's another Jenna from Illinois that I have met before.
It's not me.
Do you know this other Jenna, though?
No, not that I know of. It's not me.
Interesting. Fascinating.
Sorry. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. You're the one calling. You have the floor. Go ahead.
Well, I don't necessarily have a question. I just wanted to know what it was like working with Laura Wright.
Laura Wright is fantastic. Laura is, she's one of those people that she looks at, she loves her job, has so much fun. You know, sometimes when, you know, we have things that, you know, scenes that are some people might characterize as difficult to play, or words that are difficult to say, or she looks at it as a challenge, not as an, I think some soap actors, when they get scripts, they look for the faults in the script, and look for it as a way to say, or might complain about it, or might make that moment about themselves and like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I have to say this kind of way. Laura Wright is the person that goes, okay, this is what we have to do today. What can I do? As my job is to take these words and make and bring this story to life. And what can I do? What can I add to this process? She's a very
seemed like a person like that.
Yeah.
Actually, want to be on GH someday. That's kind of my passion at the moment. So I hope to work with you and Laura maybe, and of course everybody else, because everyone on
fantastic.
There is amazing.
Well, we look
and
forward
I'm
to seeing you then.
And I'm loving all the kids, actually. I loved Drew, and I love Aaron and Lexi and everybody. So, but
we're very lucky to have a good cast of young people. I think Lexi is doing a really good job in the.
Yes, she is. I'm loving her storyline right now.
Abuse storyline. Yeah, she's got a lot of tough stuff, and she's doing a really good job.
I heard that you mentioned you're going to be having some scenes with Carly on the screen in a couple weeks. I love seeing Carly and Spinelli scenes. I think they're very cool. My favorite one was Luminously Pregnant Valkyrie.
Yeah,
that was cool.
Carly and Spinelli have good scenes because she is kind of she's got a very dry sense of humor and doesn't if there's something that she doesn't she kind of cuts to the chase, and Spinelli obviously can be a little bit roundabout in the way he deals with things.
Yeah.
So some people will wait to understand. Carly does not wait for anything. It's really fun to see them work together.
Yeah.
Well, it was nice talking to you. I'm going to let, hopefully, Tammy Kay talk to you now.
All right. So, thanks, Jenna.
All right. Bye, Bradford. Bye, Joanne.
Bye.
Thanks, Jenna.
Bye.
Yeah, Carly and Spinelli scenes are good, definitely.
Totally.
Let's go here to area code 909. I'm not sure where 909 is, but 909, what's your name and where are you calling from?
I'm Crystal from Ontario, California.
Okay.
I was gonna say, like, I've heard people say 909, like in LA, like like something about like from the 909, like, right? Do you guys like have like a 909 pride?
It's like 30 minutes from LA. It's really close, but yeah.
Yeah, I used to, when I first moved to LA, I lived with family in San Dimas, I know that's not. I thought that is that 909 too? Or
San Dimas? I think so. It's really close.
Yeah, but I used to fly out of I used to fly out of Ontario, and I'd go back, like, JetBlue flights from New York to Ontario, so.
Yeah. That's awesome. Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm so excited to talk to you. I waited for, like, 30 minutes to talk to you, but, yeah,
thank
I'm
you for your patience. Thank you for your patience. I really appreciate it.
I just wanted to say hi, and what do you want to see for your character in this year, moving on after the sexy movies?
What I really liked about Spinelli up to this point was that, like, I remember thinking a couple years ago that, I would watch characters that just had one person that they talked to or one, one storyline going on. And what I loved about my character was that I was kind of, I could have scenes with anybody. I was kind of filtered in everywhere. I was involved with everyone. And that hasn't happened as much lately for reasons that are totally understandable. And I don't begrudge anything, but at the same time, I really enjoyed that. That was really fun. Like, part of what makes Spinelli interesting is how he interacts with other people. To have interactions with different people means different Spinelli, and then, it kept it really fresh, and, like, having him have, when he talks to Jax, there's a specific way he talks to Jax, and conversations that they have, like we said with Carly, with Sonny, he has a very, everyone that he talks to, you get a specific, or not a specific, but you get like a,
You can get pretty much, it's a mixed bag, you know, and that is, and I liked doing that because it was, I humor can come really easily out of those interactions, and I really enjoyed that. So I would say that's what I would love to see is more interaction between maybe not just one character, but a bunch of characters.
I love how when Claudia, you know, was on, how their relationship was. It was amazing. Like, she really liked Finale.
I think, yeah, and not only is it interesting to see how he reacts to people, but also how people react to him. You know, like, I know over the years people have said, you know, it's nice to see so-and-so work with Spinelli. Like, I like what side Spinelli brings out in other people. And so, you know, and that was always a really nice thing to hear, too, because it's nice to feel like other people have, you know, benefit from working with you, too. So, that, you know, stuff like that.
All right. Thank you. It was nice talking to you.
Nice talking to you. Thanks for being so patient.
You're welcome. All right. We'll talk to you now. Bye.
Okay. Bye.
Oh, wow. Yeah, we just got a couple more to go through, Brad. Is that okay?
Sure.
All right. Let's go here to area code 952. 952, you're on the phone with Bradford Anderson. What's your name?
This is Pete from Minnesota.
Hey, Pete. How's it going, pal?
It's going okay. Gracious greetings, Mr. Jackal.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the way you address me. I appreciate that. That's wonderful.
I gotta say, I'm really excited that you and Brandon are coming to Chicago in June. So
yeah, that's gonna be super fun. It's you know, it's a pretty packed weekend because it sounds like that's the weekend of the Emmys as well, potentially. I was planning on extending my stay in Chicago because I have family there and it's one of my favorite cities. But I may have to jump on a plane just after my event and go to Vegas because that's where the Emmys are going to be, potentially. So it's a big weekend. It's a big weekend, but I'm thrilled to be there. Yeah, yeah. Peter, are you still there?
Good. Yeah.
Sorry, I'm here. Kept talking. Sorry about that.
No. In fact, I'm glad you brought up the Emmys because congrats to you and JJ on the nominations.
Thank you. Yeah, no, I'm pretty, you know, it's always, you know, it's kind of a cliche to say it's an honor to be nominated, but it is, especially this process of it. It's, you know, it's from your showmates, it's from your peers. It's I feel very lucky to be among that group. Thank you for that.
Sure. And my question is, can you tell us a little bit about maybe a funny, like, behind-the-scenes story or something? Or from what I understand, isn't there some video game madness that goes on in the dressing rooms?
There is. I mean, we're all, you know, yes, we are grown-ups, but I think our life allows for a lot of free time. And so we tend to fill that free time with boyish adventures. We do play a lot of video games. Steve Burton is kind of the center of all that nonsense. He has a very competitive nature and likes to. There's a boxing game on PlayStation that Dominic and I were having a kind of a rotating beatdown schedule, and it's funny because one of us would always like have like a week where we would dominate, and then it would change because people would figure out, you know. So we just, there's a very relaxed feeling at work, which is really nice, and everyone's just so grateful to be there, and everyone's so nice and relaxed. Yeah, it's easy to enjoy yourself, and so that's generally what we do. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, man. It's kind of a dream job. I know it's, you know, we got a great schedule. We just work with nice people. We get to have a lot of fun, and, you know, we get lots of opportunities to go out and meet people that watch our show, and we get to do a lot of fun things. It's pretty ridiculous. Thanks for calling in, man.
Yeah, and look forward to meeting you and Brandon in June in Chicago. So
Absolutely. We'll see you there. Thanks for coming down from. You said you're in Minneapolis. You're in Minnesota.
Yes. Yes.
Wow. Well, thank you for making the trip to Chicago. We really appreciate that.
Yep. And one more quick one. Who is your all-time favorite Red Sox player? All-time favorite.
Oh gosh, that's so hard. Like when I was growing up in, you know, like the 86 team is kind of like the team that was my first introduction to the Red Sox. And so when I was a kid, I loved Roger Clemens, but I'm having trouble holding on to that love. so, you know,
yeah.
I mean, I love Jim Rice. I love Marty Barrett, like the second baseman on the 86 team, like Mike Greenwell, Ellis Burks. Like, that whole team, I love that team. But right now, I mean, Dustin Pedroia, it's funny. Like, I always thought when I was a kid that I was going to be a professional athlete, which was obviously delusional. But, you know, and so when I look out into the world of professional athletics and professional sports, I mean, Dustin Pedroia, if I had worked hard, I would appreciate people that I can relate to. Like, if I worked hard enough, I could, with my physical stature and, you know, I could do what they do. And Dustin Pedroia is, like, my height, maybe even shorter. And, like, I really respect him because it was clear that he had to put in he's not incredibly gifted physically. I mean, there's something – he has put a lot of work in, and he plays like it's the last game he'll ever play. He plays with that tenacity, and I really appreciate that. So,
I agree with that, and I share your hatred of the Yankees too, by the way. So
that means you're getting hung up
sorry,
on now,
Joanne. Sorry, Joanne.
Hey, I'm sorry about Joe Nathan. That sucks.
Yeah, but actually, I'm originally from Chicago, so I'm a White Sox fan. But
okay, well, but I mean, for the whole entire state of Minnesota, and anybody that even cares about the Twins a little bit, I feel really bad.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
it was great talking to you, Bradford, and good luck on the marriage and everything.
Thanks, man.
Take care.
All right, dude. We'll see you in June.
Yep.
All right.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Good night.
All right. Bye.
Never some people calling a New Yorker saying they hate them. Don't be calling my show saying that.
I know. You got to respect the hostess. Come on now.
Come on. I'm so informal, it's ridiculous. I mean,
I know.
All right. We got two more people, darling, and then I'm going to let Kira have you. This
all
is
right.
Tammy, area code 917.
917. Are you in New York or are you a transplant and just kept your 917 number?
Oh, no way. New Yorker forever.
All right.
Woohoo.
Oh, goodness. Here we go. All right. How are you, Tammy?
I hate her. I know a lot of people. First of all, I want to say congratulations on your wedding coming up.
Thank you very much.
Your
thank
ankle
you,
is
you.
Better for you to dance.
Oh, it'll
be
fine.
A lot of people have a lot of pull, and I was thinking maybe there's some way somebody could go to the powers that be and let you have closure with Georgie. Maybe she could come to you tonight in your sleep and tell you that your magnetist is going to be okay.
That would be, as we were saying earlier, they can do anything. And, you know, if George is going to visit anyone besides Maxie, I think Spinelli is a pretty good person to visit. That would be super fun. And any chance to work with Lindsay, I would certainly welcome. So that's a great idea.
I think you need closure.
Yeah, I need something, that's for sure. And
I just wanted to ask you also real quick if you use TweetDeck. Because I have tweeted you till my fingers went numb, and I've posted on your pictures, I've done everything, and I can't seem to get your attention.
What is the term you use? Tweet deck?
Tammy Christ, I'm in Tweet Deck.
Yeah, Tweet Deck, Bradford, is an application for the PCs or laptops you put on the computer, and it's like a bunch of columns where you can see tweets from everybody that you follow. It's kind of like a massive screen of tweets.
But you have your mentions and your direct messages also in columns. So that comes up right there.
It's like a whole
tool.
It's a whole Twitter console.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's really cool. Yeah, no, I am I
I guess, you know, I've been on Twitter for a while now, but I still consider myself a bit of a novice. So, I mean, it took me so long to understand what RT meant. I had to send out a tweet going, "What is RT?"
I'm not the only one.
I know, right? I mean, because there's no when you sign on to Twitter, there's not like a tutorial, or is there? I mean, it's just like if you're on Twitter, you're expected to know how to use it.
Yeah. Uh huh.
Yeah, I mean, it took me a while, but as we talked about, Joanne, we're old.
No. Everybody was talking in this SMH. I was like, what the hell is SMH? Is that like a club I don't know about? I was getting so aggravated. And my son
what is that?
Shake my head. I was like, oh, Jesus.
Oh, come on. Yeah, that's, I mean, no one even, that's not like something that you would, I guess laugh out loud isn't really a common, like, it's not something that people generally say either, so it's kind of something, but anyway.
No.
Yeah.
Tammy, did you have another question for Bradford?
No, I just wanted to tell him about TweetDeck and ask him about the closure with Georgie. Thank you so much for getting me in, Joanne.
Thank you.
And good luck with the wedding, and I hope your ankle heals a lot quicker.
Thank you, Tammy. Thanks so much for calling in.
You got it. Speak to you later. Bye.
All right.
Well, this last caller, Bradford, as a very loyal fan, this is Miss Georgette.
Hey, Jordan,
how are you?
Brad is the best. Goodness, I waited an hour and 40 minutes, says my iPhone. Oh, my.
Oh, my goodness. Is it plugged in? Because I know iPhones don't have good batteries.
No, they don't. The battery life sucks. You're not even kidding. How are you? I haven't seen you in forever.
I know. Why? Did you move? Did you go somewhere?
No.
All right.
I'm becoming a grown-up, and
that's bound to happen, I suppose.
I know, and then I'm in school. I'm almost done, and I'm graduating.
Oh, good for you.
Hopefully, I'll be back. Maybe. I don't know.
All right. Well, thank you for still being a part of the crew.
I am. I'm still a part of you guys. I miss you guys a lot, like you and Brandon and Stevie and everybody else and
we're still here. We're not going anywhere, hopefully.
Yeah, I'm very, very, very happy about that. So maybe eventually I'll make it back to Fan Club Weekend whenever the funds can be able to be replenished, if that ever happens.
I don't know if you've heard, but it's in beautiful Van Nuys now. I mean, we've changed to exotic locations.
Yeah, I know, and I saw it's a new hotel and everything. Saw pictures of everything. Last year.
It's not nearly doesn't have nearly as much character as the Sportsman's Lodge, but it is pretty user friendly. From what I understand, they were pretty thrilled to have us there. Because I mean, you know, like it's the airport near it's near the Van Nuys airport, so I mean it's not like a destination by any means.
Yeah. Mm.
And so I think they're pretty thrilled when they have a reason to have a bunch of people there. So.
Well, not only that, I'm pretty sure it's probably the only action they get all year, like good action.
Well, that's kind of what I'm saying, and we are great action.
More than that, you guys are really fun to hang out with. So, but that's
thank you. We enjoy ourselves, that's for sure.
I want to see a bromance with Spinelli and Johnny Z. Can we have that?
You know
happen?
What? It's so funny. We spend a fair amount of time with each other off camera. It's bound to happen on camera sometime. It almost got there. It almost got there not too long ago. I mean, we've helped each other out a lot, but I think you're right. I think they could be good. They could be good. A good on screen duo. You're right.
They could have Sonny and Jason. They could totally have Johnny Z and Spinelli. Not sure what your couple name would be, but I could get that working and see how that'd work out.
Yeah. No. I mean, there's got to be a good fusion name that would be interesting for sure.
Let's not and say we did. Enough of that.
What did you say?
Said, let's not and say we did. Enough of that.
Come on!
Goodness.
Anyways, good talking to you. Hope to see you soon.
Absolutely, George. Thanks for calling in.
Not sure when it'll be, but you guys keep up the good work. Still watch
we'll
the show,
best.
Even though I don't see you guys very often. But you come to Florida. That's cool. That's a good idea.
Yeah, we're actually thinking about
I know it's been, we've had been in the talks to possibly, like, do, you know, do, like, do an event in Orlando or something like that, because we haven't been to Orlando in a long time, you know. We haven't been to Florida since Super Soap went off, and we know that we have a lot of great people in Florida that might hang out with us if we came, so, yeah, so we're thinking maybe.
I'm thinking that's a for sure. Yeah, you haven't been since 2008, and don't remind me about Super Soap. Every time November rolls around, get a little teary-eyed because it's not around anymore.
I know. So it definitely makes sense to us. So hopefully we'll be down there soon.
Okay, if you do, bring Steve with you, even though I know he hates the hot weather, and bring Brandon with you. That'll be great. Thanks.
Brandon and I can maybe work on. Steve will never. Steve
told
will.
Me that. He was like, "Go away." He calls me troublemaker.
Yeah.
He's like,
well,
"Go away." No, I'm not coming. That's what he said. And I know how much Steve loves the hot weather, but he said no, he won't go to Florida.
Yeah. Well.
Really.
So. Yeah, maybe if we do, we're potentially doing this band thing. Me, Brandon, Scott Reeves, and Steve is kind of spearheading it all. So if we can get the band playing, maybe he'll come down with them. So with us. So
that would be pretty. That'd be pretty epic. That's gonna be a good band.
Epic indeed. Yeah. Mm. Well, thanks for calling in, Gigi. It's always good to talk to you.
You too, Bradford. Thanks, Joanne.
All right, take care.
Hi, Georgette. Bye bye. Wow, you just went through so many callers in such a short amount of time, but I'm glad that we got them all in this time.
I hear Kira eating the food that we ordered outside.
I didn't know that you were waiting on her.
Oh, it's all right. She came in and got me a refill of wine, I'm so glad we were able to do this.
I am too. It's been too long, and you know, once a year is just not enough. We definitely have to stay in touch a little bit more, I think.
Totally.
I'm following your tweets. It'll get a little bit better, I hope. And you know, Bradford, enjoy that wedding. Enjoy the time that you have left with your bride to be. Send her my thanks for letting us have you this evening. Everybody in the chat room is saying they love you, and tell Kira we said thank you.
Absolutely.
Just do me one favor before I let you go. I need you to do a promotion for Star Dish again because my computer crashed and I lost all my promos. I lost all my audio. It really sucks. So I have to kind of start from scratch again. So if you could just do, this is Bradford Anderson on Star Dish Radio, however you want to do it, and whenever you're ready.
Okay. So what am I supposed to say? I'm sorry.
Say, you know, like, this is Bradford Anderson on Star Dish Radio, whatever, you know, however you want to say it, and I'm ready.
Hi, this is Bradford Anderson, and you're listening to Star Dish Radio.
Perfect. Bradford, it's always a pleasure having you, and best of luck to you, and I'll speak with you soon. Everyone, don't forget, Stephen Martinez will be here the 31st from The Vampire Diaries and David Canary on April 1st. Until then, everybody, peace out and have a wonderful night. Thanks again to Bradford Anderson for spending time with us. Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Hey, everybody, this is Brandon Barash, and thank you for listening to Star Dish Radio.